You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome to the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague's brand new podcast. I'm Joe R. Lucas, and over the next few months, I'll be getting down and dirty with some of your favorite coaches, players, and legends of EuroLeague basketball. Each episode of The Crossover will feature an exclusive chat between me and a very special guest as I find out what life is like on and off the hard court for Europe's elite. The next episode was so much fun for me personally. Listening to Real Madrid shooting guard Fabian Coser open up about everything from his childhood, overcoming injuries, a model wife, and to top things off, a dog that acts. Enjoy. All right, my man, Fabian Coser. As I just sat down with you, you told me to call you Fab.
Yeah.
Are we friends now?
Yeah, we're friends, man. I see you quite often.
I see you're already looking at my questions. So
no, I can't read. I just see my name and you have everything written here.
Yeah. Brest, France.
Yeah. Huh? West side of France, yeah.
West side of France. Small town?
Really, yeah, small town. 140,000 people. I'm not living downtown. I'm living in a small village on the coast. I'm 400 meters from the sea.
And how many players have gone as far as you've gone from this town?
Zero.
Zero.
I'm in
one now.
I'm in one from Brest. Yeah, it was maybe one or two players who've been professionals, but in second division. And yeah, I'm the first one to be EuroLeague champion for sure.
Do you have a key to the city? Do you own the city?
I don't have the key of the city yet.
Yet.
I've been to see the mayor last summer. So he gave me the medal of the city, and it was quite big for my family, for myself, you know. They are so proud of me to be important for the city.
The thing that I saw a lot of is your family is huge into your basketball career because they've been so much into basketball. You have uncles, brothers, sisters, I think everybody.
Yeah, basically all family, just my grandfather on my mother's side who played football, played soccer. Mm-hmm.
We don't like that sport, do we, too much?
I like to watch big
like
games.
To watch. There you go.
I'm not to follow like every competitions, but yeah, all the family and kids of my sister kids are already playing basketball. It's in the genes, I will say.
It's got to be. I mean, with the whole family together. You look stronger this year. I'm having a tough time actually like thinking that you had the whole summer to work out because I saw you had a pretty busy summer.
Yeah.
Have you gotten stronger? Do you have a workout program going? Because I need some tips.
You don't need tips. You're bigger than me. But yeah, I work out during all summer. I try to don't lose too much shape. Just because I just turned 31 and you want to take care of your body to go right. As far as possible. Like Felipe, you know, 38, 29. It's huge.
He's unusual.
Yeah,
he's
unusual. I know he's unusual, but, you know, like I'm trying to prepare myself for the season because I know if I stop too long, it will be too hard to practice and you have like you start to have problems with injuries and stuff like this. And we don't want that. And so I practice almost every day. 1 hour and a half, you know, I just go to the lift weights and get some shots at the end just to stay in shape and do something else. I had a pretty busy summer.
Yeah, you did. We'll get into that.
Okay,
don't worry.
Okay. Well,
that's coming. Don't worry.
Okay.
Are you a morning workout? Do you get up early in the morning, get it done and over with?
Or? Yeah, I'm trying to do it in the morning. Okay, if I had a party the day before, no, this happened too. But, you know, like just trying to, like I said, I think it's in my mind too. I had a couple injuries in the past, especially my last year in Vitoria with my back. And since this happened, I really took care of my body a lot. I have a special diet that I'm doing with Campazzo and a couple of other players. And I'm trying to...
You guys do it together, the same diet?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing the same. I mean, he's the one who started. Argentina national team started with Nocioni, Ginobili. And I saw these guys went to so many successful years and without injuries, so I say, okay, I'm gonna give it a try.
I just heard Ginobili's on the paleo diet, right? Paleo, whatever.
I don't know how you call it.
You don't know.
I just know what I can eat and what I cannot eat.
There you go. No, not too much sugar.
No, I cut the sugar totally.
No carbs, no hydrogen.
Exactly. No, nothing about pasta.
But no, every now and then you have to have a bowl of pasta, right?
No, I didn't have pasta for like 5 months, 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. I really love it. I've been to Italy and didn't eat pasta. Can you imagine how tough was it?
I just got back from Italy. I ate all the pasta. So whatever you didn't eat, I ate.
Yeah, but I'm trying to save myself. I love fish, you know, all the stuff. You know, I'm just trying to find a way to be happy because food is so important. Everybody is happy with food, you know.
What about growing up when you were younger and you were trying to get out of the small town to move on? Do you remember coaches, a game where, you know, maybe you had a huge game, or maybe a player that was like your ultimate competitor that was better than you?
I mean, I remember the two games that got me out of my town. We were playing French Cup as a cadet, so I was 16 years old, and we played against Le Mans and Cholet, who are big high school, I would say.
Right, high school, yeah.
High school. I played very good against both. I scored like 25 points against both, and we won against Cholet and lost against Le Mans, but it was pretty big, and like both coaches.
So this is a small team going against at this time.
Exactly.
We're the big boys.
Yeah,
we're like the Real Madrid and Barcelona of France.
Exactly. It was super big for us, and we were playing at home in a small gym, but it was packed because it was huge for everyone to come and see all these young players. It was Batum in this team and other great players. So after this, like, they called my team and said, we would like to give a tryout to this guy at the end of the season to see for the future. I went to Le Mans, I had a good workout, but they had like many players on my position, and they sent me to Le Havre to make a tryout again, and I signed in Le Havre. I left, I wanted to give him a shot. My parents told me I have to get my degree, if not I will come back home the next year. So it was pressure. Yeah, I mean,
that was one of my questions here, that you know, in the States where high school, college, university, whatever, and then you go, if you do good and you go on to the pros. So you studied. You finished your degree, and what's your degree in?
I studied until 19, and I had my first year. I was supposed to go my second year, but I signed a contract, professional contract, and we were practicing twice a day. And basically, I wanted to be a fireman. I was studying
really?
For this. Yeah. I wanted something like be active. I couldn't work in the office, so I had to move and do something physical, stay in sports, and so.
This is at 19. You're thinking about being a fireman.
Yeah.
As you're about to sign a contract to play.
Exactly. To play for Le Havre, and I wanted to be a fireman because it's teamwork, and it's like helping people, and I really like this. So.
Is the fireman thing still a possibility? Is it a thought for your future? You someday you're gonna retire. You're only going
to
be...
If I have the chance to go for a couple of weeks, you know, to see how it works. And like I saw Boris Diaw went to the Marines, like in France, you know, for months.
Yeah.
If I have the one shot to try it and to see how it works, it will be pretty interesting.
Well, we'll remember that. Remember that
okay.
one. Your first experience was, help me.
Le Havre, yeah.
Le Havre.
Yeah.
Le Havre. You played there 2006 to 2008. And then you got into the Euro Cup. This was a small team also.
Yeah.
And you helped get the team in the Euro Cup. What was it practice like before the Euro Cup? I remember my first year in Spain, it was nonstop practice because there's no games during the week.
I mean, it was like a small team in France. It was not a big budget. So we had like 9 professional players, then young players. And I had the luck for myself that one guy on my position got hurt. So from the beginning, I was playing minutes, a lot of minutes, and it was great for me. I played my first professional year like 28 minutes per game in France, and so it was huge for the experience. And we did great. We finished fifth, lost in the playoffs, but it was great for me. Like I said, getting experience because a young player has to play minutes to get better.
28 minutes a game, your first professional game.
Yeah.
Were you ready? Did you mentally, were you ready? What you talked about those two games before. I want to kind of mesh those two together, these two moments together. Was this the moment where you said, I can do this?
Yeah.
You know, after those two games, you started to get the confidence to say, I know there's always a point in a professional athlete's life where they say, oof, I think I can do this.
I think it was not that point. I think I was like, I want to try. Right. If I can be a professional player, it was my dream as a kid. And I had no open doors to try it before. So I said, okay, I have to try. And my parents were behind me, but at the same time, being responsible. And I think after my first games in Le Havre as espoir, you say, like from 18 to 21, more or less, I had a couple good games and I started to practice with the professional guys, and I saw that I was not so far from this guy. I had to work out a lot, but I was not so far. And at this point, I said, okay, I have my chances if I work.
Then in 2009, the inevitable happens. You get the call from the big team, from Cholet.
Yeah.
Was it difficult? First of all, was it difficult to leave the team that gives you the first opportunity to play
of course,
a professional level?
It's always hard, but okay, I always have been super grateful to my ex-teams and the teams who gave me... They gave me the most because I started there, you know. But at the same time, I always think it's a business. It's my career. And in 10 years, people might not remember, you know, like what happened. So I say, okay, I have to think about myself, what's the best for me. And of course, it was a buyout, so the team would have compensation. And I think we found a good deal for everyone. Everybody was happy. And Le Havre is always in my heart, like I always said. And I always see my ex-coaches. And every time I come back there, having a great time.
And the first season in Cholet was amazing.
Champion.
You were champion of the league, champion of the cup also. Yeah. Who else was on that team? What other, give me a couple big names on that team, other than Fab.
No, I was not big at all.
I'm going to call you Fabulous.
Oh,
there
wow.
You go. That's my name to read this year on EuroLeague TV.
I don't know if you know him, John Linehan.
Mm-hmm.
His
I
guy
remember the name.
Made me a nightmare of practice, like, because he was so good at defenses, like Facu Campazzo, more or less, like really short, super active. And I saw an interview about Kobe Bryant that when he was playing in high school, it was the best defender he ever played against. And I remember like to have a hard time against him, a lot of time get frustrated, but John taught me a lot about basketball.
What that does to you also, if you have a guy that's making you practice so hard during the week, the games become easier.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's the key to that.
Yeah, of course, he got best defender of the league 2 or 3 years in a row. So for me, after I was every weekend I had him in my team, of course, so it was easier. And the opponent was not as good as him. So he made me be a better player for sure.
And after that first year, you get your first experience with the big boys, EuroLeague.
Yeah, before that I went even to national team for the first time.
Yeah, we can get into that also.
Yeah, and second year we play EuroLeague, we play Barcelona at home, we play Siena.
What was that like for this kid from Brest?
It was huge. Like, I remember to play very bad the first game at home against Barcelona because I put so much pressure on myself to play good against Navarro. He was like an idol for me, like all these guys, him, Ginobili, all these guys at my position, you know, were great. I was like, wow, I have to play good against him. I want to play good. I want to show I'm a good player, you know. But he was too good.
were you somewhat starstruck by Juan Carlos? Was it like he was so much of an idol to you that it was difficult to defend him maybe?
I think the problem was not just on defense, because I put so much energy to play defense on him that, okay, I foul, but I'm here. I feel like I'm giving him trouble too, but in offense, I wanted to prove too much. And I put too much energy, I couldn't hit shots. You know, the shots are too long sometimes because you just want to do too much. And I had a bad game.
Yeah, and in 2012, you mentioned the national team. 2012, you played up into the quarterfinals for the French in London.
Yeah, in London. So we lose against Spain. happened a lot, but we won a couple times against them too. But no, it was a great experience. Didn't play a lot of minutes, but to be in Olympic Games, just the ceremony was something unbelievable for me. And you know, I still have these images, and I think they will never go. It was really special. I believe it's for like an athlete, that's the best competition you can compete.
Amazing. Cholet, after this year in EuroLeague, goes back down to EuroCup.
Yeah.
What was that like? You reached a pinnacle, mm-hmm. and then you were taken back down again. Was that a difficult transition to go back to EuroCup? I know EuroCup's an amazing competition nowadays. I don't think it was as great back then as it was now. Do you feel like it was, I want to get back to EuroLeague?
Yeah, I mean... of course, when you have a taste of EuroLeague, you just want to spend more time there. At the same time, I think EuroCup was more for our team, I would say, to compete, because EuroLeague level was maybe too good. We did some great games, but at the same time, these teams were very good. The roster were so long, like you have one substitution for the other one, and every players are really good. And it was very tough for us, and we did a step back, but in EuroCup, it's really competitive too. It was great for myself to show that I can play more minutes even, and I remember that I scored a lot.
Then off to Baskonia, then you came to Spain. Did you speak Spanish? I saw, as a matter of fact, I saw the drawing for the shoes.
Uh-huh.
You speak really good Spanish.
Yeah.
With the beautiful French accent.
Of course, the accent will never go, I believe. I'm trying a lot.
Did you speak that before you arrived? Because this is your first trip. This is your first time now out of France. No. So it's a whole new situation for you.
I studied Spanish at school, but I forgot everything when I arrived there. Como te llamas, nothing else. So I was kind of lost at the beginning. The coach, Dusko Ivanovic, was only speaking in Spanish. And okay, day by day, I was asking the players, okay, what does this mean? Arriba? Okay.
But you have someone there? Was there someone there next to you the whole time?
Brad Olesson, I would say.
Brad,
I was playing defense on him all the time. And every time I didn't understand, I asked Brad. And Brad was great with this. He could speak Spanish and understand it perfectly. So he was great for me the first season.
The only good thing about not understanding the language is when the coach is yelling at you, you don't care because you don't know what he's actually saying.
Yeah, but I actually get even more nervous.
Because
I'm asking for help to the other guys. What is he saying? Maybe it's even
worse. You want to make sure that you don't make the same mistake twice.
Exactly. And it's true that Dusko, has a strong character.
Yeah.
So when he gets mad at you, you don't even look at him in the eyes, you know.
You don't want to make the same mistake
no,
twice.
No, you don't want.
Now, you mentioned it a little bit before. You had some physical issues during your time in Victoria. Was that, first of all, we'll talk about what it was, but was that probably the hardest time of your career for you up until this point?
Yeah, definitely. First, because they found that, in a blood test, in a typical blood test, that I had problem, that it was not so big problem, so big issue, but with my kidneys. And I was scared because... Okay, I had one doctor who told me that I might stop my career if it was big. So I was kind of depressed because I was not ready for this. I was 26 or 27, and you're never ready for news like this. I love too much my job. I love too much the sport. And I said, okay, with my agent, we decide to get second, third opinions to see if it maybe it was a mistake or. I don't know. And we found out that it was not bad. It was not so bad. And I just get a pill every night and I'm under control. And now that I'm doing my diet, it's even getting better.
You played 14 games that season, I think, in EuroLeague.
Yeah, yeah.
Were they 14 consecutive games and then you left, or were you kind of in and out?
It was in and out.
It was in and out. So you never really caught a rhythm.
No. I had a bad season, and I believe as a team we had a pretty bad season, not the result that we expected. It was a tough year, because I learned in Victoria too that you have to win, because it's a team with pressure. It's a big team in Europe, and the fans are great, but at the same time you have to win. It's like this. It's in the culture. And I learned how to play with this pressure. And these 4 years in Victoria helped me a lot.
Victoria's a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. I played there for 3 years also, and I actually love the city. But you spent 4 seasons there without winning.
Yeah.
I spent 3 years without winning also. But so we have that in common anyways. So now you've gone 4 or 5 years without actually hoisting another trophy.
Yeah.
So the desire has to be, because you've had that taste in your mouth, you know?
Exactly. And I felt so many times that we were so close, and these guys from Madrid were beating us in the... Sometimes it was semi-finals, but in the final, like you say, okay, if we beat Madrid, we can beat anybody. And so many times they beat us in a super close game, lost by 4, lost by 2. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. We even been to Final Four last season, where I believe we had opportunity to do something great. We lost in overtime against Fenerbahce. Mm-hmm. And we gave them a really, really tough game. you know, like a lot of people say, you learn from the losses too, like a lot. You have to learn why did you lose that game and what can you do better to don't lose it again. But yeah, it was really frustrating to don't touch a trophy for so many time.
Was your choice to go to Victoria, did that have anything to do with the fact that it's kind of close to France?
Not really. I believe I chose Victoria because of the team, because it's huge. I saw as a kid Laurent Foirest play there many years, and it was a challenge. Dusko Ivanovic was there, and I was like, this guy is going to kill me every day, but he's going to make me get better. I know it. Like, in all my career, I get better because I work, not because I'm a huge talent. So I was like, this guy is going to kill me, but it's going to be hard. And it was really hard, but I'm going to get a better player.
Not too many players have that attitude. That's an attitude that you don't hear very often. A lot of it is, hey, I've heard this coach is really difficult to deal with. I don't want to go there.
I don't know if I would go back with him right now. I have to say.
Now, remember, we could always edit this. This is tape, so we could go back and...
No. At this time, I needed him.
Right.
Right now, I don't know if my body, my mind are ready for this. But I would say at the moment, it was great. I come from a family who is like this too. I know where I come from, and to live from my small town, I had to work out. So I think it's working like this for me, so I keep doing it.
Then you picked up in to Germany, and I'm just sitting here and I'm looking. 25 minutes a game, you started in all 29 games in the EuroLeague. You're 50% from 2 points, 34% from 3 points. You won the German Cup, you won the Bundesliga. And you won the MVP of the finals all in the same season, in one season.
Yeah.
I guess because I'm not going to spend a lot of time in Germany, but this is huge. Mm-hmm. My biggest question there is, how does a guy come from 4 years in Victoria, show up in Germany in a brand new team, a brand new atmosphere, a different culture, and excel so quickly? We see this all the time nowadays where players go from, you know, one country to another team, and there's a slow progression. This is not a slow, you became a superstar overnight in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the titles at the end of the season. I mean, the cup was in February, but like it's so much work in front of this. I start the season slow, I would say, like because I needed adaptation, like a new coach, new system. Coach Trinkieri was really hard on me at the beginning, but I had a special relationship with him. Like I felt every day that he wanted me to get better and to improve. That's why I came there too. A lot of people say that it was a step back in my career, but to me it wasn't. Like it was like a new challenge. Show that after my injury, this will never change for my level and for the player I am. And it was a big success. It was huge, and I wanted to prove to everybody that I can dominate in another league.
That was my one big question. Now my next biggest question. You left.
Yeah.
You left after one season.
Yeah.
And an incredible season. And I know you came to Real Madrid, and I know that that's, you know, that might be a different, it might be a little bit of a different situation, but what made you pick up and leave and come here? I know you, I've read that you had a dream to play for this club at one point or another in your career. I mean, that's the easy way out.
It's true. I don't know. Like after my first season, I said, okay, I had 2 years in Bamberg, and I was happy there. My wife was really happy too. And I said, okay, let's see what's coming this summer. And then we talk. I was not, usually when I'm ending a contract or something like this, I'm super nervous until my agents call me. And I was pretty relaxed, I think, because I did my job, because we won. You know, when you win, you go to summer like super happy. You feel like you did your job, basically. And, okay, many teams called during that summer. And at one point, when Real Madrid called, I said, oh, we got to go. I said, that's my dream. Like, it's a new challenge. We got to go. I don't know how much. I don't know how many years. This is my agent's work, but I want to go.
I've read that you would have taken less money to come here.
Yeah, I did.
But we don't want to tell too many people that. I'm sure your agent's not happy about that one either.
No.
It's not agents this. Agents never like to hear that.
Not so much less money, I would say.
let's not get carried away, right?
No. Especially because when you win so many trophies here, then they give you a bonus.
Well, there you go.
So you have to win, you know? It's all about winning. But no, when Madrid called, I lost so many times against them that in Vitoria, I hated them. Like I said, that these guys, I'm so jealous every time they raise a trophy. But since I'm a kid, I follow Real Madrid. I was a soccer fan. If I had one team to pick, every time was Madrid. And I say, I want to try. And my wife is from Madrid, so it was quite easy.
In the States, we say, if you can't beat them, you join them. That's pretty much the way, that's what you did.
When I read this, sometimes I say it's weak. But basically, that's what I did.
It's weak, but hey.
It's true.
The Kevin Durant. You're the Kevin Durant of Europe.
No, don't say this. Don't have too many friends that would hate me if they compare me to KD.
Just a joke. But you showed up and I mean you're looking at the roster and you're like, where do I fit in? Where? I mean, you got Jewel, you got Rudy, you got Luca.
JC.
Was that nerve-wracking for you? Because as much as you want to be on a certain team, you want them in titles. You want to make sure that your playing time is going to be there.
Yeah, that was, I believe, my first conversation with Pablo. That was my first concern, too. But like from the beginning, okay, even if one coach can tell you, you're going to play 20 minutes per game, you're going to play, he cannot tell you. You have to deserve it. But Pablo said that I will have playing time, and I trust him. I said, okay, I signed there. If I don't play for Real Madrid, I will have another opportunity in another team. But I said, maybe it's the chance of my life. I have to take it. And that was my biggest challenge, to find the playing time in this team, in this roster. And okay, then Sergio got hurt, and of course it changed a lot of stuff for my past season. But I'm super proud of what I did in this team.
I think the most important thing is that you earned it. This time wasn't given to you. You earned it. Everybody has to take advantage. If teammate goes down, it's the next man up attitude. You know, I have to be there, but when that happens, you have to be there, you have to earn it. And I think you earned the time that you've gotten, and the way you play defense, your intensity, your consistency, I think, to me, is the most important thing, whether you're given 3 minutes or you're given 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Coach Lasso is probably the most confident in with you, is consistency.
Yeah, that's what I wanted from the beginning, not just perform scoring, or because we have so many weapons in this team. It was more like earning the confidence from Pablo. Like if I had 3 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, like I wanted to be efficient, bring something to the team. Like if I have to play defense on the best guard of the other team, I'm going to do it. If I have to take shots, I would take shots. Like just, I think I can do a lot of stuff on the basketball court. And like I said, we have so many weapons in this team that depend of the day. Some days I will score 2 points, but I will feel like I play good.
Some days, like round 25, you'll score 27 and be the MVP.
Yeah. I mean, this is better game, because...
What a game with the black guy. Yeah. You know, we got the little sexy Frenchman thing.
Yeah.
I called you the sexy Frenchman, and all of a sudden I saw Leo Westerman, who's obviously a good friend of you.
He made fun of me.
Yeah, he made fun of you, called you the sexy Frenchman. So now you're the sexy Frenchman.
Yeah.
And now I have to exchange the fab also. But your roommate was Dino.
Luca
was your roommate last year. For some reason, I thought it was Dino, but you and Dino are
close.
We were close
too, yeah.
Well, him and Luca were very good friends.
Yeah, exactly. I was like the babysitter, because I had in my team, in my room, all the time, Luca, Dino, and Santi used to.
They were all like 18 years old.
All the time. They were in my room. We are playing cards, like doing stuff. I mean, it's nice. Sometimes, okay, I wanted to be quiet, and because I wanted to sleep or something, and they were always there.
But, when you're young and you're 18, you don't need a siesta. You don't need the nap.
Exactly.
You know, just keep going. Yeah. You have so much energy.
They have so much energy, but it was nice. It was nice to have them around all the time. Didn't get bored.
The obvious question that I have to ask, playing with Luca. I mean, when you came in and you're looking like, well, you were here when he was 17, I guess, right? There's not much I could say. You know, I've said all the things that I thought that, you know, he wasn't going to do well after he won the medal, the European medal. I thought he was going to have a tough time after his first season, but he always proved me wrong.
To everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, can he be so consistent like he has been in the European Championship? He did it. And now people is asking, can he play in the NBA? What position he can play? He will do it. This kid is special. It's just like this. He has so many weapons. He's big. He has quick footwork, great fakes, can shoot, can drive, athletic. But I'm pretty sure they're going to work on his body a lot. So, I mean, I would not be surprised at all if he's killing.
That's all we need now is for him to have a nice body also.
Yeah,
we don't need that. He has enough already.
He has enough, but I told him to he should start my diet. He gained a little bit too much weight.
There you go. Hey, you have to enjoy the summertime.
It's normal.
Last year was an amazing season, obviously. Let's just talk about the EuroLeague right now. Winning the EuroLeague season, there was nobody here on this team. They were injured all day long. Sergio Jules started out, never even made it to the preseason because he was hurt in the summertime. Then Anthony Randolph went down. Kuzmic was down in the first game for the season. He's out for the season. We knew that from day one. Anthony Randolph went in and out twice, I believe.
Yeah, and Gustavo
the same thing with the shoulder.
Then Trey was home.
Trey was back and forth. Yeah. You had Cabasa, Facundo also got hurt. Then, of course, he gets hurt just before the Final Four and has to have his knee done. And at what point during the season, and please don't lie to me, at one point during the season did you say, all right, it's just bad luck this year and we'll get him next year. Let's just finish out this year and we'll get him next year.
I'm not going to lie, and you can ask Trey Tompkins. We had this conversation in a bar after a win, and he said, Fab, that's not for us this season. He told me this, and I said, you serious? And because I told him, we are still here. We are still in top eight. We were fifth at this point, I think. Nobody's playing. Yeah, but we have too many injuries. I said, you will see. We will come back. The chemistry got great because, we gave minutes to everyone in the team. Everyone was happy. The guys were not happy, they were hurt. But when they will come back, they will have so much energy that they will bring something to the team. I said, you will see, we're going to go till the end.
So you're telling me that you were the confident one and Trey was the negative one?
You can ask him.
I will. I got one of these planned for him too. So.
Yeah. I mean, he will tell you, my confidence didn't drop because I felt, during the season, we beat everyone without being with everybody.
Right.
Never. We didn't have Lure the whole season. And he came back at the best moment.
And the games that you didn't win, in Panathinaikos and in Fenerbahce, I think you won, but there was a couple games where you were there, regardless. You fought to the end. I was at the Panathinaikos game where you guys were, I think, you're up by 16.
Up by 16 and we lose.
Yeah, by 2 points. But you're there with half your team.
Exactly, with half of the team out. And that's the moment during the season, I learned to play with my teammates, but I learned to see them. We could win even with half of the team out against one of the best teams, against the best squad maybe of EuroLeague. So I'm why not? Just we keep working and we will see. But the most important was to go to the playoffs.
Even after the 27-point loss in game one, where you guys were losing 20-0 in the first 3 minutes?
I was not confident after this one, I have to say.
Okay, good. Now you're telling me the truth.
No, I told you the truth after a win, and I was super hyped. No, but this hurt. We lost by 30 with no option from jump ball. We are 5-0 with one dunk and two turnovers in a row. It's you get hit by a train.
Yeah.
And
by a big train.
A big train. Really athletic because they were jumping everywhere. We couldn't do anything. We had zero chance. And I remember the next day we had the toughest practice we ever had with Pablo. We were playing game two the next day, but we practiced full court with full court pressure just to learn to play the way they play. Because we have more talent, but if they hit us so hard, they will beat us. They're more physical. They are more athletic. So,
were you surprised by the fact that after that they didn't seem? Because I was at both games and I was on the flight with you guys. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that they didn't come out as physical in game two and three?
I think because we show that we can hit them too. We just, it's not you get bullied and you don't answer. If they keep hitting you and you just hide, they will kill you. And we show that we have character. That's it. Of course, our experienced guys came out. Like Felipe played amazing that game.
Amazing.
JC, Gustavo, Rudy.
Exactly.
Two three pointers, one fade away. Like,
if you're Greek, you have to think that it's over.
Yeah. And one really important thing, we beat them on the rebound. Like,
yes.
As so many loose balls came out in our hands, that's science to me. Like when you watch the game, you're like, oh, this is science. We're gonna go get this game.
Right. It was an amazing game. And now you're in the Final Four. You come home, you sweep the two games, and you go to the Final Four, and we're going to talk about your weekend, man, because your weekend was amazing. But, I mean, you handled CSKA other than a really bad first quarter. You gave up, I think, 30 points in the first quarter, if I remember correctly. And then you played this other three quarters were just real solid, and then that just kind of continued on into Fenerbahce. Was the fact that you won, I'm going to jump right to the victory here real quick, was the fact that you won with everything that happened throughout the season, did it make it even sweeter?
Yeah.
It has to be a feeling of just, this is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was like to write a book about this season. Like, we should be like taking notes during the season. This happened in practice. This happened like all the time. And at the end, you have the success to win with everybody, because everybody was except Kuzmic, but we know from the beginning he will be out for a couple months more. But it was great. Like, it's an amazing feeling to when you beat the champs. But like it was like we were in front of their crowd because it was so packed of Turkish, and we celebrate with our family there. Like, no, it's the best moment of my career, 100%.
And just the fact that everything that happened prior to that, you know, Selko, who I played for in Madrid, told us that you have to suffer to have the taste of success. You guys suffered. You suffer through practice. You suffer through the road trips. You suffer through the games. You suffer through the injuries. But you don't. You usually suffer individually. You suffered as a team last year because of everything that happened. But to me, I looked at it as, and I said this was, the curse that you guys had at the injury bug was the best thing that happened to you, because all of a sudden, boom, Ione pops up. Mm-hmm. Randolph pops up. Facundo pops up. He's 100%. Sergio Jules shows up out of nowhere in game three in the home court and has a terrible game up until the last two shots. I shouldn't say a terrible game. He has a game that you would expect from a guy who comes back after 9 months of not playing. But it all came together. It all came together. And that to me, it was like, wow.
That's what I explained that day to Trey in the bar. I told him, you will see. Everybody will come back and we're gonna do great.
We're going to get to Trey in a second here. 5 for 5 from the three-point line that weekend. Yeah. 17 points in the final game. 21-point index rated in that game. That's the championship game where you... 5 for 5 was for the weekend. Let's get that correct. Yeah. You were 3 for 3, I believe, in the final game. Man... I mean, I go back to the sexy Frenchman. What was your best game? Was it that game, or was it the 27 points against Panathinaikos?
No, it's that game.
No doubt.
No doubt. I will just forget the two bad
free
throws.
No.
We're coming there, right?
No. Hold on. I got to do my job.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it was my best game because it was so important. You know, like during the season, this game against Panathinaikos was important, but like it was one of the 30 games we played of the regular season. So, and that one, you had to be good that day to make it happen. And all the guys told me, like in the team, like, wow, like thank you, like for your game, for what you did that day, because we needed this. We needed someone to catch fire, you know, like, and this happened in second half for me. And yeah, I don't know what happened that day. I had so much energy, like I wanted to win so bad.
5 for 5 from the three-point line, but you jumped ahead of me, man. You jumped ahead of me. You're trying to do my job for me, so I hope you don't retire for a few more years. 4 for 6 from the foul line.
Yeah, bad.
2 free throws at the end. Now, the amazing thing, because you've been so open with me and it's been such a great conversation with you, you actually told me the story about Trey Tompkins. So this brings it all back into where we need to be here. You missed the 2 free throws in money time.
Yeah. And when you see it, I missed because I was nervous, because I was shot 2 times.
Exactly.
You want to shoot good, but like I shot just with my arm. I didn't use my legs.
Did that where you pull back. You don't extend the arm all the way there.
Yeah, it's stupid because I was so in confidence. I was not missing at all,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
And I'm the one, you know, I remember perfectly, it was after a timeout, and Pablo called a play and to get, I think, Trey open or someone else. And I set the screen and I see nobody's going quick to the ball. And I said, that's for me, I go get it. I want to shoot these free throws, you know. I shot both, and I missed. Luckily, I had two more after this that nobody will remember, but I made them.
Yeah. No one's going to remember
those. Exactly.
Those two didn't matter.
Exactly.
So what did you say to Trey? What can you possibly say to Trey? Here's a guy that sat in a bar with you just a few months ago and said, "This is just not in the cards for us this year. We're not going to do it. Forget it. Just let's go on to next year. Whatever you guys talked about. Now all of a sudden, maybe with a little push in the back, we don't know.
No, come on, man. In the finals, yeah. Nicolo is my friend. He's a great friend, but I think that it was a perfect miss free throw because it was." It hit the rim like five times
now
before.
This is, now we have a confident basketball player. Even the misses are perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it bounced like four times on the rim. And Trey, that never goes to offensive rebound, went to offensive rebound.
That's because Trey's always outside the three-point line.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, no, I'm going back. But no.
So what did you say to him?
I told him, bro, you saved my ass like this. Sorry, my friends, but exactly what I said, because, okay, we were up three, but Dixon just hit a huge shot before that. And they
had the momentum.
Yeah, they had the momentum.
They had
the
going.
Push, the crowd was pushing, so... Yeah. And it was the moment to finish, and it's the toughest moment of the game, so...
Do you still go up to Trey and tell him thank you?
Nah, they have to tell me thank you for the final too, right?
Ah, okay, there you go.
No, but yeah, of course, I mean, Trey and... I know him for a while, even when I was playing with Vittoria. His wife is the cousin of Mike James, and we were hanging out together a lot. So we have a special relationship, and I'm happy, you know, like right now we're doing this podcast because, like, I remember the bar, now Trey saved me, and we celebrate together after. It's a great story.
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me to ask you about the celebration afterwards. I'm not going to do that. I've won championships. I know we don't get into it. The only thing that I'll assume is that everybody did exactly what Sergio Jewell told them to do.
Yeah, that's, he's the boss.
Yeah. When it comes to parties, celebrations, Serge is the man.
How are you not going to celebrate this title?
Like, of course.
You have to. And we did it great.
And
it
it's like
good.
If you want to go eat the best food, you have to go to the best restaurant. So if you want to go to the best party, you have to get the best person to organize it.
True. And he's the best.
And he's the best.
Yeah, Sergio is.
We're finished up here now, and I'll let you go. You kiss your trophy every day? The EuroLeague trophy? Are you still that in love with it that you kiss it every day?
Because
you did get married.
I get married. But I really kissed it for a while until I get to holidays. I believe every morning I kiss the trophy.
Is it like a peck, or is it do you put your arms around it? Do you get intimate with it?
Both. I take my time.
You take your time.
No, it's special. Like, I mean, we won so much in the last season, and it's a great moment, you know, so of my career, and I'm like just enjoying every time I see the trophies are in the living room and I see them all day.
You got married to Lucie Aicart.
Yeah.
She's a model here in Spain. You've been with her for...
3 years and a half. That was fast, but it was worth it.
Why was it fast?
I was ready for a while, and I'm the one worse, so... No, I will say, like, a lot of people say, yeah, it's fast. I don't need time when I think I know something.
Absolutely.
And I think we are on the same page about this. So
This is a short time that we have to live our life. You have to enjoy the moment. There's no doubt about it. And it was the wedding was beautiful.
Beautiful.
I mean, all the players showed up, all your friends showed up, and everything looked so beautiful. But how does she feel about you kissing this trophy all the time? Or do you guys do it together?
She's not jealous about
she's
about
not
the
jealous?
Trophy. She cried that day too. Like, she, when we won, she's the first person I've been to celebrate. And like, she couldn't believe it. Like, she said, we did it, because she's the one who is there every day when I... Not when I'm winning, it's easy.
Right, exactly.
You know? You go home, you go to restaurant, it's great, life is perfect. But when you lose 2-3 games in a row, you are playing bad. She's the one who is there listening to me all night if I have to.
It's a difficult job for a woman.
It's a tough job.
To be with an athlete, professional athlete.
It's a tough job, especially when we lose, because I have bad character. I don't talk.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I mean, you know, like when you arrive to this level, you are so a competitor. So you hate to lose, and... I can't imagine like the how will be like if we lost that final. You know, sometimes I think about it, like we have a great hand, but when you lose it, I don't know.
It's difficult.
It would be a hard job for her.
Maybe she'll just leave for her. Maybe get a modeling job somewhere in like Brazil.
No, I'm pretty sure she would stay with me.
She'd stay with you. Yeah. So she's been a support system for you then throughout these 3 years. Were you together when you had the kidney issues also?
No, I didn't know her yet.
Okay, you can.
But she was there for the back injury.
The back, okay.
And it was the beginning, and she came to my house to take care of me every day when I was in bed for a week, and she was there all the time.
And you know, my mom is of Italian descent, so the obvious question that I have to ask you is, when's the baby coming? You know, because I tell you, I don't know how that is in French. In Italy, the minute you say I do, everybody's like, when's the baby? When's the baby? Is she pregnant yet?
Everybody's asking already.
Everybody asks. Okay, but it's not just me then.
No. I think we're going to take a little bit of time, not too much, because I don't want to wait too much. I'm the one who's putting pressure. She was putting pressure on the wedding. I'm the one who's putting pressure on the baby.
Really?
Yeah. I'm ready to grow with a kid.
Beautiful. A couple more things and I let you go. You're married now, and now you're having a kid. I see you in these video games. What's this, Overwatch. Yeah. Overwatch. Excuse my 53-year-old ignorance.
No problem.
Overwatch. Yeah. What is this? Is this what you and Luca and everybody did together?
I'm a gamer.
You're a gamer.
Yeah. I really play.
How can you be a gamer at 32 years old and you're married now? You have married life. Does she play with you?
I have a great wife. No. She understands that I need my hour or two sometimes. I mean, sometimes, almost every day.
It's every day. It's an everyday thing.
Yeah, I really love to play.
Is this an addiction?
Kinda. It's not like poker. I don't play money on it, but I like to play with my friend. I play with Luca, of course.
So you guys are able to play
together
from a distance.
Yeah.
He's in Dallas or whatever, and you're here, and you're able to connect and play.
Play with internet, and I just love video games. I even sometimes watch events on the internet. I really love it, and
it's crazy how they do that. They do like major events where it's like a concert hall, yeah, and like people watch people play.
Yeah, they did some in some stadiums of 50,000 people, yeah, and it's full. Like, it's pretty impressive, but at the same time, it's scary for the sport. I will say because like I saw when there are finals, you see like 200,000 people on the internet watching at the same time the stream.
It's crazy.
So it's a big thing.
So don't let it affect your marriage, man.
No. I cook. I do stuff.
Okay.
I go walk with the dog. I do stuff. She's not complaining.
Oh, the dog.
The day she complains, I stop. I hope she will not listen to this podcast.
She don't listen to the podcast. Yeah. I mean, you have this charmed life. You've won the Euro Cup. You've had these incredible games. You have a model wife. And now you have a dog that's a Jack Russell dog that's an actor. I just started following this dog on Instagram. Yeah. And I look, the sad part about this is the first thing I looked at before I come to interview you today was, does the dog have more followers than I do? And if he did, I was going to not come. I was going to be like, listen, I can't interview someone who has a dog with more followers than me. He's an actor?
He does some commercials.
Chori is the name.
Yeah, chorizo.
Is like it chorizo?
Yeah.
Because I see chorizo style, but
yeah,
I read that it's true.
That's my wife did this Instagram from the beginning, I believe. But yeah, chorizo is not famous, but he did
some getting there. Like, he's been in a movie.
Movies, no. Commercials. I've been last year with him to act like on a commercial. And I was the actor, more
the
or
two
less.
Two of you together?
Yeah. I was not... At the beginning, I was like, no, I'm not going. You're going. And she couldn't go, so I had to go. And
what was the commercial for?
Food for dogs, of course.
Food for dogs. Yeah. There you go.
And so he had to be super happy when I get back home with food or stuff like this. So it was easy. He's a good actor.
But he understands what's going on? Or was he trained to be an actor?
Not really. It's just they ask for like easy stuff to make him. Easy stuff. Yes and no, because they ask me to make him super happy and super sad. I'm like, I'm gonna make him super sad.
It's take impossible. The food away.
Yeah. No, this doesn't work.
No.
But he's amazing.
Like, chorizo style.
He's gonna have a little brother soon, I believe.
Yeah, well, when you get home today, you go on chorizo style and you let him follow me. I need more followers.
Of course,
I can't let this dog like out follow
my
me.
Wife.
As far as social media is concerned, you're very active on social media.
Yeah.
And I think it's great for your image, for everything. But how hard is it when you lose that game by 27 points, for example, to Panathinaikos, and you wake up, is there like notification after notification? I mean, do you not read? In my day, it was like I just didn't go get a newspaper.
Yeah,
it was easy.
I don't go on newspaper the same, well, not the same reason why not go, but on Twitter it happens. I just ignore. Like when I see the beginning and it's gonna be rude, I'm like, I don't read it.
Right.
Because even if you don't care, it still
affects you.
Yeah, affects you because, I mean, you're a normal person. You're not here to listen people all the day telling you not doing your job the right way. So it can be a bad game. It can just like I believe a fan should support his team in a good moment and bad moments. And I believe the fans of Real Madrid are great for this.
Again. One of my main questions is I've seen some things where you guys are with the soccer team a lot and so forth and so on. If I was to grab your phone right now and get into your contacts, what's the most famous number I'm going to see in there? The most famous person that we all know that you can call up right now and send a message to and say, hey, let's get meet together and have a beer if he's close by or if she's close by.
It will be up Tony Parker or Karim Benzema. And it depends which sports you play, but like both are super famous.
Both are super famous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tony Parker, I could see you guys are friends. You guys played together.
Yeah.
And Benzema, have you? It's obviously a French connection also.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
but you
why,
met
more
you
or
met
less.
Him here in Madrid, or
yeah. I know him from Madrid from last season, and we just see each other like basically at lunch when we finish practice, and we finish more or less at the same time, and we see each other there. We talk a little bit. I'm not as close with him like Tony Parker. We just talk and chat because I believe we are French and we're asking about news. But it's great to talk with these guys because they are in the best team in the world and. It's good to know a little bit their feelings about, like, you know, during the season and stuff like this. It's fine. It's fun.
First thing that comes to mind when I say family, give me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh, family. Well, my family, I will say. I mean, my parents. I think about my parents, my sisters, how close and how much I love them.
Luka Doncic.
Genius.
Felipe Reyes.
Legend.
Sergio, he might not like that.
Oh, that's the tough
legend,
one.
Legend means old.
Yes, but still a legend.
But he's still a legend.
He's top rebounder, he's top minutes win. I mean,
Felipe's a legend, and no doubt about it. Sergio Jewell.
He's the boss.
The boss.
Yeah.
Tony Parker.
Winner.
Manu Ginobili. Well, you just took winner away.
Idol.
Luffy Arcar.
My love.
And the Crossover Podcast with Joe Lucas.
My friend.
There you go, man. Faber, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it. Have a great time. Great season and good luck with everything.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.